You're listening to another life-transforming message from Awakened Church with campuses in San Diego and Salt Lake City. To find out more about us, go to awakenedchurch.com.
Tonight is going to be so amazing. Because I'm contagious with something. And I'm about to infect you with it. And it's not COVID. It's a spirit of joy. And I want to be honest with you. Now, some of you may have felt a level of warfare this week, or even getting to this event building tonight, there was a level of challenge and obstacle to even get here. Do you know why? Because the devil is so scared that you're going to get your joy back. So I am so glad you made it, because you are in the right place at the right time, and you are standing under the spout where the glory comes out in Jesus' name. So I'm a joy carrier, but I want to tell you that you are also a joy carrier. And you might say today, well, I don't feel joyful. Well, that's why we can't always trust our feelings. Feelings, some are good, some are not so good. And the ones that lie to you, they're the not so good ones that you need to evict from your mind. But you are a carrier of joy. And maybe today you don't feel that joy. You feel a little bit depressed. You feel under the circumstances. You feel a little bit down. You feel a little bit blue. Do you know, if you're a Christian in this place, if you're a believer and you've accepted Jesus into your life, give me a wave if that's you. If not, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that. So hold fast. But when you accept Jesus into your life, he moves in, the Bible tells us in the book of Galatians, and he doesn't come empty-handed. He comes with a fruit basket. He's a wonderful guest. He's not one of those guests that turns up with nothing. He turns up and he's got a fruit basket. Do you know what's in his fruit basket? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But what was the number two fruit?
Joy.
So you may not feel like you have joy today, and maybe it's still just in seed form. But do you know what we're going to do tonight? We are going to water that baby. We are going to water it. We're going to nurture it. We're going to put some fertilizer on it. And when you leave the building tonight, that seed of joy is going to spring forth and bring about a harvest that you will not be able to contain. Because the devil worked his darndest in 2020 to steal people's joy. And some of you tonight, you're even under a little bit of that residue of heaviness of what a year we went through. And I don't want you to feel condemnation. It definitely took the wind out of the best of us. And maybe you felt like you've landed face first into 2021. But you're still pregnant with the seed of joy. The devil didn't give it to you, and the devil cannot take it away. So tonight, we're going to water that seed of joy, and it is going to bring forth a beautiful harvest in your life. Amen, Leanne. I'm already loving this. So here's what I'm going to do tonight. I, with my spirit, God's spirit in me, let's put it that way, is going to ignite that spirit of joy in you. Do you remember the story in the Gospels about when Mary and Elizabeth met for the first time? And when those babies saw each other, they were just in proximity and the baby leapt in their womb. Tonight, the spirit of joy is going to leap on the inside of you. You're going to feel, you're going to be like, wow, I thought that was dead and gone. I thought I'd never get it back again, but there it is. Joy, 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 down in my heart. Where down in my heart? Where down in my heart? I got that joy, 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 down in my heart. Where down in my heart to stay? Now, if you haven't been before, I'm famous for leg splits. I like to kick my leg because that's what joyful people do. All right. Nehemiah 8:10. Don't worry, you're going to like me by the end, okay? I seem a little bit obnoxious now. Do not worry. We're going to be great friends. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet." Ooh, I like the sound of that. Sounds like a party. Sounds like a cherished night. "Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready." And this is already beautiful because it's saying here, maybe you've got something and there are people around you that don't have any, but God's going to give you enough that you're not just going to be able to sustain yourself, but the people around you. "For this day is holy to the Lord. And do not be grieved." Somebody say that. Amen. "For the joy of the Lord shall be your strength." Oh, the devil was so crafty because he knew if I can steal their joy, I can take their strength. And a weak Christian, a weak woman is an easily defeated woman. But I'm telling you today, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And we're going to water that seed of joy tonight. Amen. So the title of my message is Joy Unmasked. Joy unmasked. See, because we don't want you to just have to pretend to be happy. And sometimes in Christian church environments, sadly, there is a culture where people think they have to pretend. I have to walk into church and I have to pretend everything's okay and I need to put on a fake smile. I need to carry a big Bible that I never read. And then I have to amen at all the appropriate times. And I have to post things on Instagram that look like I'm living my best life, even though on the inside I'm screaming and I'm crying because I'm unhappy, but I need to do this because this is what God would want from me. Wrong. God doesn't want you to look right. He wants you to be right. He wants you to be whole. God is a minister of the heart. He doesn't say, "I want you to pretend and look right because then otherwise if you don't, you'll give me a bad reputation." He's like, I want to deal with the real you. And I actually don't want you to have to pretend. I want you to be genuinely joyful and happy about life. Can somebody say amen? So we're going to talk about joy unmasked tonight. It's going to be a little bit different than perhaps your the messages you're used to hearing on joy. I want to talk about a few things that are potentially joy blockers and talk about a couple of things we need to do to enhance our joy. Because you've got that joy, that seed of joy is there, but maybe it's hidden under some stuff. Maybe it's being smothered by some other things. So I'd love it if you'd grab your phone, grab your notepad, grab your friend's arm, anything that you can write on. Because I want you to remember what I'm about to tell you, okay? Lessons from Pastor Leanne. Joy unmasked. What does joy look like unmasked? Point number one, walk the narrow path. Matthew 7, 13 to 14 says this, "Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it, and they all just happen to be at Cherish Night 2021. I don't want to assume, as your pastor, as one of the stewards over your souls, one of the shepherds of your souls in this city, I don't want to assume that you're in this place today and there's maybe not some women here who are not engaged or doing things that are actually blocking joy from their lives. You're actually engaged in behaviours or sins or patterns. And I'm not saying this to condemn, but I'm saying it to liberate. Yes. I'm saying today there are certain behaviours that will block your joy unless you surrender them to the Lord. Oh, I tell you today, there are not many places talking about this, but the Bible says the wages of sin are death. And God wants so much better for you. Don't walk the broad path that leads to destruction that many are following. Do whatever you feel like. Well, I'm just going to do whatever I feel like. You know what those people that do whatever they feel like end up? They end up compromising their joy. They're the most unhappy people. Do you know, I have never met anybody who has moved away from God's ways, who has thumbed their nose at God's commandments, who has backslidden away from God, whose life has improved. Not a one in 30 years of pastoring. A.W. Tozer said this. He said, things are beautiful, life-giving, joyful as they move toward God. And then they are ugly as they move away from Him. God has so much more for you. That's why He blessed us, yes, blessed us with 10 commandments. Do you know them? We have them. Look at this. Because I didn't want to assume that everybody knew this stuff. Take a photo. And maybe when you're thinking, am I guilty of partaking in a joy blocker? Have a look at this. Honor your father and your mother. Who would have thought that was one of them? And yet it is. You shall not covet. And I know you're up here coveting Pastor Becky's legs. It'll steal your joy. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. In other words, don't lie. Yeah. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember the Lord's day. Be in church on Sunday is going to help you. Yeah. Don't steal. That's a good one. Even the pens from work. Don't even steal those. Start small. Starts with the pens, ends up with the photocopier. Don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Oh my God, oh my God, don't say it. It's a joy blocker. You shall not make idols. Anything you're bowing your knee to over Christ. That illicit relationship, uh-oh. That alcohol addiction, uh-oh. That thing that you've elevated over Christ, uh-oh. You shall not commit adultery. Imagine if we just all did just that one. How much less pain there would be in the world if we stayed faithful to our spouse after we were married, if we stayed faithful to God before we were married. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. That goes without saying. You shall have no other gods before me. Walk the narrow path. The Bible says this in Psalm 19:8, the commandments of the Lord are right. I love God because He doesn't even pretend to be impartial. The commandments of the Lord are right. God's like, I'm right. I'm not saying this to be a killjoy. I'm saying it to bring joy. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear. They're right up there, giving insight for living. Do you know the ironic thing? That in America right now, because we haven't kept God's Ten Commandments, we have 4,450 federal laws. Because we couldn't keep 10, we got 4,450. Walk the narrow path. There will be times where you feel lonely on that narrow path. But I'm telling you, the people on the broad path, they're zooming past and there's plenty of people. There's a big crowd. But guess what? When you break down on the broad path, there's no roadside assistance. But when you're on the narrow path, my gosh, God Himself is walking with you to bring you through, bring you through, bring you through. God doesn't give us His decrees and His commandments to rub from us, on the contrary, but to add to our lives. Now, as a pastor, it was important that I do that. Somebody say, hurts so good. But if you want to live with joy, you got to live life God's way. Point number two, you ready? Turn to the person next to you and say, this is so good. I'm already so helped. I will not steal anymore. Point number two, joy unmasked. Learn to live with an imperfect life. Oh, and this is a hard one, especially if you're a Gen Y or a millennial or a Gen Z. You can endure more than you think you can and with a better spirit than you think you would. Did you know that? Do you know that you were created to survive stress, pain, and inconvenience? You are stronger than you think. And a lot of us, we sabotage our joy simply because we have an expectation that isn't realistic. I remember when I was having my third son, Tommy. I had my first two children, my first two sons, and we were relatively poor. We didn't have a whole lot of money. My first son, Jordan, that I had in New Zealand, my husband and I had to move out of our rental property when the owners sold it. We had 2 weeks' notice. We had to move into a flat or a one-bedroom apartment with an air hostess who was traveling a lot of the time, but we were kind of shoved in this little apartment waiting for a rental property to come through. I took my newborn baby boy home to a one-bedroom apartment that had four people living in it. And it was difficult, but you know what? I survived. I lived to tell the tale. And my marriage survived too. And then I had my second son, Ash, and we were a little bit more financially prosperous and we were building our first home. It was a miracle. And my husband swore to me that the home would be ready before the baby was born. And so, of course, the money runs out and things aren't quite finished and the due date comes and we're in the house and on the day I'm giving birth, we do not have running water, carpet on the floor, and there are a whole lot of things that are yet to be finished. But I brought that baby boy home. You know what? I survived. I lived to tell the tale and I'm still married and I still have a spirit of joy. Then I had my third son and my husband swore to me because our financial position was just markedly better. And we were building another home on the northern beaches of Sydney, a beautiful home. And it was projected to be finished 3 days before my, 3 months before my due date. Everything was going to be fine. There was so much margin for error. And then I remember my husband coming home one day. We were staying in a renovated two-bedroom garage, sharing a room with our two sons. We had, I mean, you can't really call it a kitchen. It was a counter with a toaster oven on it. And my husband came home and he's like, I could tell he had to tell me something that I didn't want to hear. He's taking his time. He's being super sweet. He's doing this with his chin and he's like, babe, I just heard from the project manager and unfortunately, they've had to push back the date when we can occupy the home. And it looks like that we're going to be here when Tommy is born. I'm like, oh my gosh, my gosh. So I remember just being in the moment, so overwhelmed and wanting to say, but you promised me that this time I would have a home to bring my newborn baby home to when I'm in a garage. And here's the thing about this particular house. There was holes in the roof and possums would come down in the middle of the night and scurry and party through the house and poop everywhere. So I would wake up to the wrong kind of possum confetti every morning after they'd been partying all night. So the day comes, I go into labor, I go to the hospital, I have my beautiful baby boy, Tommy, and I bring him home to a renovated two-bedroom garage with my two other children in a one-bedroom unit with a tiny little toaster oven. And the people that lived upstairs, one of them had insomnia. So they would get up, I kid you not, in the middle of the night and play the piano. It was like an old Western saloon up there. It was insane, insane. So I had possums. I had piano playing insomniacs. I was surrounded by potential stress. But by this time, I realized I had the seeds of joy on the inside of me. And whether life was going perfectly or not, that seed of joy remained. And there was no point complaining about something I couldn't change and making myself miserable and everybody else around me miserable in the process. So you know what I did? I brought that baby home. I bought the biggest roast pork you've ever seen, and I cooked it in that tiny little toaster oven, and I feasted. The joy of the Lord God shall be my strength. We've got to learn to live sometimes with an imperfect life. You were designed to be moderately inconvenienced. You cannot control life sometimes, no matter how hard you try. It wasn't that we were poor. This was the circumstances we couldn't have foreseen, and yet here I was. And so many of us are muddying up an awesome day simply because we do not realize we've got the ability to be joyful in any and every circumstance. Yeah. The Apostle Paul put it this way. He said in Philippians 4, 11 to 13, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. I'm comfortable and I'm convenient and I can find my joy anywhere, everywhere and in all things. I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Paul was content because he decided to be content, not because all the conditions were perfect. I feel for this generation. They have been marked, and I reverse that curse and decree in Jesus' name, but they have been marked the most unhappy generation. But you know what? In a lot of ways, it's the ones who raised them are to blame. We've told them it's all about your happiness and it's all about you winning and it's all about your comfortability and, hey, everybody gets a trophy. So they were never, ever conditioned to live in a world of ups and downs, of highs and lows, of wins and losses. And so when those things happen, they lose their minds. And we're finding many of them having to go on medication because they have not been conditioned to understand that life is full of seasons. You're going to have some good ones, some not so good ones. You're going to have some winter, you're going to have some spring, you're going to have some fall, but you're going to have some summertime, and you, my friend, can have joy in them all. Can somebody say amen? I love this quote by Viktor Frankl, who was a prisoner during the Second World War in a Nazi concentration camp. He said this, "The last of the human freedoms is to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose their own way. And there are always choices to make. Every day we are offered the opportunity to make a decision to not submit to the powers that threaten to rob you of your very self, your inner freedom. I will not become the plaything to my circumstances, renouncing freedom and dignity. You have the joy of the Lord on the inside of you today. You do not need to become a plaything to your circumstances." I actually want to take this moment right now to honor a woman who has lived this and exampled this and modeled this so beautifully. Learning to live with joy in season and out of season. Cindy Sheridan, will you come up here so we can honor you? You are a living, breathing example. And thank you for knowing this potato head. We've got some things for you. Not everyone here knows Cindy's story, but Cindy lost her husband tragically a couple of years ago. And obviously the worst and hardest season of your life, but in the midst of it, you have had unusual joy and you've chosen joy daily. Do you know that this woman now is a stand-up comic in San Diego with her own show? So Cindy, Cherish Women got you flowers and a gift card to go out for dinner and celebrate with your friends. And this is from me. And I want you to open these. Colby, will you come grab these flowers? These are for your comedy routine.
Oh, my gosh.
These are for your, the Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. You got some happy, joyful feet. And all the other stuff's in there if it's not quite your size, but we wanted to bless you and honor you today, Cindy.
You
are a woman who has modeled joy in every season, and we honor you and love you.
Thank you. God bless you.
Do you know where your disposition of joy is worked out? It's easy to be joyful in high times, in victory times. Our disposition of joy is actually worked out in the desert times of life.
Right.
The reservoir of joy that I have in my life was not cultivated during the victories, during the high times, during the celebrations. It was when I was listening to at 3 o'clock in the morning while I'm cleaning up possum poop in the morning. I'm telling you, that joy became like a reservoir on the inside of me and a bubble. You know what? I have been through some horrifying things as a human. I have 4 children. That should say it all. Like, I've been through all kinds of stuff. But you know what? I have a reservoir of joy on the inside of me that I can tap into at any given time. And I'm telling you today, it wasn't given to me during the high times, but the low times. Oh, you can do this. The seeds of joy are in you, and God gave it to you for the difficult times. You'll enjoy it during the high times, but it's going to sustain you through the difficult times. That joy is on the inside of you. Learn to live with an imperfect life. God's joy will sustain you. Amen, Leanne.
Amen.
Amen. I'm bringing my own amen today. Point number 3. Let praise be your default setting. We can increase or decrease our joy depending on the words we speak. The Bible says this in Proverbs 18:21. The tongue, hands up if you got a tongue. Yep, and you're responsible. The tongue can bring death or life. And those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Now, what kind of talk am I talking about? Hopeless talk, defeated talk, depressing talk, negative talk, complaining talk. We get a harvest of our words. The Bible says we'll end up eating what we speak. You speak it today, you're going to be eating it tomorrow. Just recently, I was on the East Coast with a friend ministering at her church in a women's conference, telling women how to speak faith and all that kind of thing. Anyway, on the way home, the mega storm hit. Remember when all of America was frozen? Okay, so that's when I was on the East Coast. And I'm sitting in the airport and I'm watching my flight get delayed and then delayed some more and then delayed some more. And it's Valentine's Day and my husband's got these epic plans for us when we come home. I'm excited. I cannot wait to get home. And then I'm seeing that flight delayed and then delayed some more. And I'm calling Colby going, Colby, is there another flight I can catch? Is there anything I can do? And she's like, oh my gosh, I'm trying. I felt like Miranda from The Devil Wears Prada, like calling up being... Get me out of here. Oh my gosh. Like, and then I call my husband as I'm watching things get delayed and then delayed and delayed. And I pick up the phone. I'm like, this is why I never travel to the East Coast during winter. This is why I told you I'm staying in San Diego. See, what's the weather like in San Diego right now? Sunny? Yeah, exactly. And I'm over here on the East Coast, and that's why I said I would never, ever, ever, ever again travel to the East Coast during winter, because I always get stuck there, and the planes always get delayed. And then I finally get on the plane, and we're sitting there, and it looks like I'm about to break out, like I'm going to make it. Oh, my gosh, I'm going to make it. And then it's delayed, and then delayed some more, and then we're sitting there, and then I call Jürgen. This is why I never, ever am going to travel to the East Coast ever again in winter, because this happens to me every single time, every single time. And Jürgen says to me after the fact, because I think he was too scared of me at that point, he's like, I knew you weren't coming home that night. I knew because of the way you were speaking, you were sabotaging your own joy. And how many of us, it's not the devil. Devil doesn't even need to get involved. He's tapped out. He's just standing there going, rock on, you got this, girl. I'm going over here to China. Create me another virus. You got this going on. I was sabotaging my own plans with my own words. How many of us are doing that? And so I sat on the plane and I think, like, we finally started to move. I'm like, come on, you can make it. The little engine that could. We're going to San Diego. And then all of a sudden, the plane starts to turn around and go back to the little jetway. And then the captain comes on the speaker system and says, folks, you won't believe this, but our shift is ended and it's against the law for us to keep flying. Federal law, we cannot work longer than... I'm like, no, my gosh, this is not happening. And then I called Jürgen. This is why I said that I would never, ever, ever again go to the East Coast during winter, because this always happens. And then I have to wait outside because they've canceled the flight. We have to get off the plane because the captain needs to have some rest. How dare he? How dare he need sleep? So I have to wait outside. It is freezing temperatures. I'm wearing an outfit like this because I've basically left the pulpit and got on a plane. Not dressed, but below zero temps and howling wind and ice. And I'm standing outside with my skinny little stick legs, shivering, waiting for an Uber. Jump in the Uber, and then a guy jumps in with me. He tries to talk to me. I'm like, no, don't you understand? I don't like people anymore. Not today. Normally right now, no, I'm not talking to you. We are not having a conversation. But then I had to have a conversation because I remembered I'm a Christian. And then we get to the hotel and I finally get there calling Jürgen. This is why I said I will never again travel to the East Coast. Curse, curse, curse. Rah, rah, rah. Complain, complain, complain. Then they take me up to the room. It is the one room in the hotel where the air conditioning is broken. It is colder inside the hotel than it was outside. So then that's another hour and a half while they find me another room and I finally get to bed and then I have to wake up early to get my new flight and then I get home. I mean, who would have thought I should have been in San Diego eating Valentine's dinner with my awesome hubby who was wanting to spoil me, but instead I was eating my words. Let praise be your default setting. But it's hard, I know, but the rewards are so good and the consequences are so bad. That's why the Bible tells us in Isaiah 54, sing, O barren. What is the last person an empty, barren person wants to do? Sing. Praise. The last thing I want to do, because my life sucks and I'm stuck where I don't want to be stuck and I'm in a house I don't want to be in and I'm doing what I don't want to do and I'm in a position I don't want to be in it and my relationship ended or this happened or that happened. I am empty. I am barren. But God says, sing. And not the song of sorrow, the song of praise, the song of praise. Lift high the name of the Lord. The Bible says he has given us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Don't be like I was. Learn from me. I don't want you to eat words of sorrow and complaint and depression and anxiety and negativity. I want you to eat the harvest of joy. Are you sabotaging your own joy because of the words you're speaking? Some of us need to make Romans 8:28 our default confession. And if you can't find words in the natural to speak, God has a Bible full of them. So maybe some of you need to grab a hold of that scripture. God makes all things work together for good for those who love him and who are called according to his purposes, and write it on your mirror. And every time you want to curse and say, I wish I never came, I wish I was never here, and why am I on the East Coast, and why is this happening, and why is that happening, and complain, 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 and whine, 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 and curse, curse, curse. Instead, you prophesy the words of God. And you'll find that your joy will return. Sing, O barren. When you're feeling empty, when you're feeling down, sing. What is one of the signatures of people who are carriers of joy? They sing. Yeah. Yeah. How many people have singers in your household? And I'm not just talking about vocalists. I'm talking about people that just can't keep that song on the inside. A husband, a wife, a child. You have a pure joy carrier. And you'll find that God wants to do ministry in you if somebody else's song agitates you. And they're walking through the house singing, joy is the flag flown high from the castle of my heart, the castle of my heart, the castle of my heart. Joy is the flag flown high from the castle of my heart. And you're like, wee. You better stop singing that. It's so annoying. That says more about you than it does about them. If you need joy, you're going to be agitated by people who have it. So instead of getting agitated, see it as a divine sign. Wow, my joy tank is low. I better refill it. I'm going to sing with you. Join them in a chorus. Make it a duet in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen, amen. I'm going to ask the band to come up and join me. I'm going to take a little drink. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're looking even more joyful. And the final point, as we come to a close, before we allow the Lord to do what the Lord wants to do, ministry, before we lean into that place of ministry, the final point, get your house in order. Joy unmasked. If you want to have joy, you've got to get your house in order. Luke 15, 8-9 says this. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. Some of you have come tonight and the treasure of your joy is lost. And you're going to find it again when you sweep the house, when you unclutter the house. And I want to come at this from two directions. Because for some of you, this is actually physical. You literally need to sweep your house. You got to. Now, there's a scripture in Titus that actually tells me, as one of the mamas of the house, I'm to admonish people to keep a good house. It's in the Bible. Keep going. Love your husbands. Be discreet, chaste, homemakers, bed makers, kitchen cleaners. And some of you, your joy is lost under the clutter, and when you find your bedroom floor again, you're going to find your joy. And when you unclutter that house and you go through, I mean, I walk through my house, I kid you not, once a week with a trash bag. Gone, 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 gone. I'm telling you, it's therapeutic. I sit down in an unmessy house and I feel joy. You think about it. Marie Kondo. She is literally an angel of the Lord. She's doing the Lord's work and she's just this meek, beautiful woman, and she'll come in and she'll be like, okay, we're going to get rid of everything that does not spark joy. And she gets in these women's underwear drawers and she, now you hold it and you say, thank you for what you did for me. I mean, come to think of it, we do need to thank our underwear. They have done quite a lot for us, especially those Spanx. Hey. And actually, the men really need to thank their underwear. They owe a huge debt of gratitude. But she says, whatever doesn't, go through the clutter. Some of you, this is like a practical thing you got to do. And you're not joyful, and your kids aren't joyful, and your husband isn't joyful, and your house is stressful, and you don't even want to go home because your home represents stress and chaos. Get the chaos out of your house. Get the order back in your house. Clean your house. Clean your car. Go in your car and get all those water bottles and all those pamphlets and all those receipts and all those different things you got cluttering in there every time you open the door to let a friend in. You're so embarrassed. Oh, I'm sorry, it's not normally like this. Why? Why? It's always like that. It's time to declutter, to Marie Kondo your life. You'll find your joy. You'll find your joy again. I'm talking about the piles of laundry and the dishes stacked in the sink and the closets that are way overdue for you to toss out everything that doesn't spark joy. Way overdue. And there's someone that could enjoy it, but for whatever reason, you're holding on to it and it's stealing your joy. That clutter in your house is actually cluttering up your mind, and your joy is buried under stuff. Or maybe it's not a physical decluttering you need. Maybe it's a soul decluttering. Maybe the house that needs to be swept is your soul. A lot of us, we've got that joy. We've got that treasure, that coin of joy. It's there. Hear me loud and clear. That joy is there. You are a joyful person. If you got Jesus in you, you got the seeds of joy in you. It is there. But maybe it's cluttered. Maybe it's under offense. Maybe it's under anger or anxiety or bitterness or unforgiveness, and you just can't see it. We're in a world right now that has lost its joy because all it can see is offense. They can't see their joy. Do you know why? Because they're not looking for it. They're not even searching for it. They're searching for offense. Think about it, the cancel culture. What's it done? Just extracted all the humor from the world. I mean, when Mr. Potato Head is on the chopping block, I think it's time, America, for you to stop looking for offense and start looking for joy again. Start searching for the right thing. Start searching for the right treasure. Do a clean and a sweep of the house. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Your joy is buried under one of those negative emotions. But it's there. It's there. I remember as a young pastor's wife going into ministry. And honestly, I had the greatest of expectations. I was really yet to realize that life isn't always perfect. And I thought going into ministry and becoming a wife and a mother and all these things would, you know, like I'd never ever have another bad day, and everybody would be nice to each other in church all the time, and we'd sing Kumbaya and braid each other's hair and life would be perfect. But then that wasn't the reality, because life is imperfect sometimes because we live on the wrong side of eternity. We live in a broken world full of broken people who do broken things. And so I found myself, and understand, I'm a joyful person by nature. When I was born, my dad tells me I was born smiling. I was actually born smiling. And I was always happy. I was always joyful, but I'd lost my joy. I was a 23-year-old woman with two little children. I was in ministry, married, and I'd lost my joy. And I remember things were so difficult because of some experiences I've been through, and I don't want to diminish what you've been through. Like the clutter that is hiding your joy, that's legitimate stuff. The circumstances matter to God. What happened to you, that abuse, that trauma, that brokenness, that neglect, that rejection, that wounding, it matters. It matters. But God wants things to be better than they've been. So we've got to do the difficult, sometimes difficult work of allowing the Holy Spirit to come in and sweep the house. And I found myself as a 23-year-old woman with my joy gone. Where was it gone? This little girl who was born smiling, who loved life, and my joy was nowhere to be found. And I was in so much pain that I would find myself sometimes just clenching my fists and screaming and screaming, and it was so unlike me. I couldn't even believe it was me when I was doing it. I would just drop everything and clench my fists and scream. I was tormented because you and I were built for joy, but my joy was so buried under the clutter of pain and hurt. And thank God, I have the husband I do. And he said, Leanne, we got to get some help here. We got to get some prayer because you're scaring the kids and you're also scaring me. And I remember going out to lunch with a local pastor because I was part of a church that didn't believe that somebody could be oppressed, didn't believe really in soul clutter. Or they just said, hey, just get over it. Just get over it. Just wake up to yourself. Just build a bridge and get over it. I was trying my hardest to build a bridge, but I couldn't. And I sat across from a pastor in our city who ended up not being our pastor, but another pastor who believed in the power of prayer, deliverance prayer. And I sat across from him at the table at a restaurant. And as soon as I came into his presence, I just started to cry. And sometimes you'll know that you have soul clutter because there's emotion that kind of doesn't make sense, where you're just crying, I don't know why I'm crying. I do. There's some soul clutter the Lord wants to deal with. And I sat across from him and I just started to cry just in his presence. And he was so beautiful. And I want you to say today, what I want you to know today, what I'm about to describe to you is a prayer that's available for you. He said, it's all right, Leanne, it's all right. Just stretch out your hand. And he said this to me, you've got some clutter on your soul. There's a spirit of grief over something you experienced that never got treated. And I want you to just put your hand out and I'm going to pray for you and I'm going to deliver you today of that spirit, of that soul clutter. And I stretched out my hand to him, crying on the table. And he just put his hand on my hand and he just said, I rebuke the spirit of grief. I tell you to get off her life right now in the name of Jesus. We renounce every demonic hold in Jesus' name and declare that power is broken right now. I'm telling you, I immediately felt a weight come off me. I felt a lifting of that soul clutter. And I went from crying to laughing like that. Like that. And some of you think you need intense therapy, and maybe some of you do. However, most of us, we just need a prayer from a faithful man or woman of God to help us locate what we can't see ourselves, help us move some of that dusty, sweep away the soul clutter that is hiding your joy. And I went in just 1 minute from crying to laughing. Some of us just need to sweep the house. And one of the greatest things that I can do for you as the mother of the Cherish Women's Ministry is to create an environment and an atmosphere and an opportunity for you to meet with God. For you to meet with God. The same God that set me free, that swept the house for me over 20 years ago and delivered me from sorrow and grief to joy again, is here right now. He's here right now. There's a woman in the Bible by the name of Hannah. Pastor Stacy spoke about her. In 1 Samuel chapter number 1, we see that Hannah, the Bible says, was in bitterness of soul and she wept in anguish. She had some soul clutter. She had some soul clutter because she'd suffered a major disappointment and discouragement. And sometimes that's all it takes. We go through life and we get discouraged and disappointed, something that should have happened, didn't happen, and it leaves a mark on our soul that we can't shake off. And Hannah found herself there. She found herself with some soul clutter. But you know what I love about Hannah? The Bible says that when everybody else had left, everybody else was eating and drinking, Hannah snuck into the sanctuary and she got down on the altar and she cried out to the Lord to deliver her of the soul clutter. And the Bible says that Eli the priest saw her, and after initially thinking she was drunk, sometimes the pastor gets it wrong, he realized she was there pouring out her complaint to the Lord. See, if you don't pour out your complaint in the right direction, it ends up getting toxic on the inside of you, and it compounds into soul clutter that will have you screaming with sorrow when you should be shouting with joy. And so Hannah poured out her complaint to the Lord, and the most miraculous thing happened. Her circumstance didn't change initially, immediately, but the Bible says that after she'd poured out her complaint to the Lord and cried out to God and got her soul uncluttered, the Bible says that she stood up, she ate and drank, and her face was no longer sad. The greatest thing we can do for you at Cherish is to create an opportunity for you to have an encounter with God. Right now, if you feel like your joy is hiding under some soul clutter, I want you to stand to your feet. Just be brave. Just stand to your feet. We don't have room for an altar today, but it's okay because this whole room is an altar. God can alter us in our seats. I want you to stand, and I want you to just lift your hands to the Lord. And I just want you to say, Father, I surrender this soul clutter to you and name it. I give you this grief. And you bind that devil off your life. Tell him he cannot have your joy. You cannot have my joy. I give you this grief. I give you this bitterness. I give you this disappointment. I give you this heartache. I give you this pain. I give you this wounding. I give you this anger. I give you this offense. Some of you have been so blinded with offense, you've lost your joy. And when we look at the collateral damage of the culture of our world today, nobody's happy because everything's offensive. They can't see joy. All they can see is offense and injustice. It is enough now. It's time to Marie Kondo your soul. Get rid of everything that does not spark joy. Thank you, Father. Lift your hands high to the Lord. And I want to start to hear your prayers today. I want to start to hear your prayers. I want you to cry out. We're going to take just a minute to cry out. We've got time to cry out. Cry out to the Lord. There are times when we need to come to the altar because we need to have an encounter with God. Hannah needed a word from the Lord. Her soul was cluttered with bitterness. Her soul was cluttered with the disappointment of a dream that was yet to be fulfilled. And she needed to declutter her soul. Declutter her soul. Sweep out the house. Sweep out the house. Sweep out the house. Father, I thank you right now for joy like a river, replacing and displacing every negative soul emotion today in Jesus' name. We surrender to you, oh God. We surrender to you every pain, every hurt, every wounding. Some of you have been living with the soul clutter of hatred. You're going to forgive tonight. Well, I don't feel like forgiving. That's all right. Forgiveness isn't a feeling. It's an act of the will. It's a decision. And the will can function regardless of the way your heart feels. Get rid of that hatred today. Get it out. It is toxic. It is literally destroying the tabernacle of your heart. Get it out. Get it out. Get it out. Get it out. That rejection that you felt over that betrayal. That betrayal that you went through, all those different things, and your joy is hiding under that clutter. Release it to the Lord today. Here's what I want you to do right now. I want you to get your hands, and I almost want you to just throw it up to heaven. Like, God, I release it to you. I release it to you. It's an action of faith. I release it. I release it. I don't want it. I don't want it anymore. Father, I receive your joy, and I reject all this pain. I reject the wounding. I reject the hatred. I reject the bitterness. I reject the unforgiveness. I reject every oppressive thing the devil wants to try to clutter my life with, and I receive your joy again today in Jesus' name. Somebody give God a huge shout of praise.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about our locations, team, and what we do here at Awaken Church, go to awakenchurch.com.